City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Hello and welcome to another edition of City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle and we're in the studios at Dakota Media Access. It's Wednesday, January 24th. And because it's a Bismarck City Current episode, Jason Timonic is here, Assistant City Administrator for the City of Bismarck.
Hi, Mary. How are you today?
I'm good. And congratulations for surviving a 3.5-hour City Commission meeting last night.
It was, I was telling people, take a late lunch. We've got a plump agenda. We knew it was going to be a long one, but there was a lot of good stuff last night.
I thought some food delivery would be starting to come in the door. So, yes, and a lot to talk about, starting right off with a report, an update that Keith Honke, City Administrator, gave on the utility rates, which had been discussed at your last City Commission meeting, and you had some input from developers and property owners in the community. Talk a little bit about what Keith's update consisted of.
Well, there were some concerns shared from the developers and the property owners that the new fees for 2018 utility fees had caught them by surprise, and that there was an opportunity for us to kind of take a step back and make sure that this is the right implementation for everybody. So the action for the commission last night was to delay some of the billing until we have a chance to revisit this issue again at the February 13th City Commission meeting.
Okay.
So for those properties that are undeveloped or for those properties that do not have water meters currently, there will be a pause in those new bills that would have gone off from the utility side until we have a chance to look at what would the impacts be to the capital improvement plan. Of course, there were projects that were predicated on some of these revenue streams.
Sure.
And so we have to make sure that some of those projects can still be accomplished and what that might look like for the total budget for the utility.
So the residential properties in Bismarck will still get their increase and have already probably seen that in their water bill.
Yep.
That remains as is.
Right. No changes there.
It's those vacant lots, undeveloped properties that we're going to take a pause on.
Right.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. And I think it demonstrates that they're being listened to, that
we're
testimony
listening.
Was
Absolutely.
Listened. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I would assume that some of these things, as you put them in play, there are some unintended consequences, some things that hadn't been considered, and it's...
Absolutely. It's sometimes difficult to try and think through every possible scenario. So until we have this discussion, we may not be aware of some of the concerns. So it's good. We definitely heard the comments that were out there, and it'll give us as staff an opportunity to make sure this is the right direction.
Yeah. Well, and it'll be coming back to you at the next commission meeting?
I believe so. Yeah, February 13th, we should have another report and the commission can decide how we want to go forward from there.
Sounds good. We'll talk about it then. Another item on the agenda last night was really a fun project that we've kind of been hearing some rumblings about and now have some visuals to go along with it is the new Heritage River Landing project that's being brought forward by the used to be the Fort Abraham Lincoln Foundation.
Yep.
Now they've changed their title to the Missouri Valley Heritage Alliance. And they've been busy in the background doing lots of fundraising. And we have a video that will roll. Sorry, radio listeners, but we're going to roll the video that shows the project over. And is just if people don't realize where it is, we're in the old Meriwethers location where the old depot got washed away in 2011, and it was sad to see go. And these visuals are so fantastic.
Very impressive. And the city's role in this, so we received an update last night from Dr. John Warford, former mayor, and Major General David Sprinson Haddock. They are the co-chairs of the Phase 2 efforts that are being taken on. The city's role in this, it's a partnership because the city of Bismarck owns the land where this property will sit. So currently we have a lease with the Fort Abraham Lincoln Foundation, the Heritage Foundation now, for them to rent the land from the city to operate the riverboat. So this will be, I guess you could say, almost a public-private partnership for this project moving forward. The city does not have any funds going towards the building, but we've got the land that everything will be built upon.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful project, and I think Those of us that remember the Meriwether's restaurant down mm-hmm. there, it was a lot of fun.
It was. That's
just
a great
such
place.
A special location, and, mm-hmm. and it's nice to see something coming back, especially with the group that's putting it on. They're so credible and mm-hmm. you know, are so very community-minded, and it's really neat to see that they've had great success in mm-hmm. fundraising. And we let everything roll on that video, so hopefully people saw at the end that, you know, where they can go for more information. Mm-hmm. You can still just Google Fort Abraham Lincoln yep. Foundation and find them. But mm-hmm. there is a way to donate and get involved and participate in this. And the idea is to break ground, I think, this spring.
Early spring.
Yep. Okay.
Site plans are in. And then this site takes some unique engineering because of the floodplain area, because mm-hmm. it is so close to the river. Obviously, it's prone to the water course. So
sure, and they manage the riverboats. Yep, so yep, we'll absolutely. Have the tickets there, some food mm-hmm. service. But the facility is will be available for private events mm-hmm. if people want to do some.
Yeah, I think they mentioned 4,000 square feet, give or take, inside the building.
Nice.
And another 4,000 square foot patio on
yeah,
the outside.
That's
so
great.
Be a great amenity on the waterfront.
It's exciting. Mm-hmm. Exciting. Another presentation last night was from Dakota West Arts Council. Mm-hmm. Eileen Walsh got up and talked a bit about the impact of arts and culture in the community. Mm-hmm. And the information that she provided was a report that had been done in the last year and really showed some revealing numbers about the impact, the economic yep. impact of arts and culture in our community.
It's definitely impressive and an important mm-hmm. part of a very well-rounded community. We've got some images on the screen again from Eileen's presentation, but the numbers, that was the first time I'd seen them, and they were staggering to mm-hmm. realize what a fantastic mm-hmm. impact the arts and culture make in our community, not just for livability, but from the economic perspective as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, arts has always been a big part of Bismarck-Mandan area, but I think with the advent of the public art installations that mm-hmm. we've seen in the last couple of years, it becomes so much more visible. I mean, and just last time you were here, we were talking about the new sculpture going mm-hmm. in down by the event center. It's really nice to see that. And again, so many jobs and volunteer mm-hmm. hours, and you yep. start putting a price tag on all of that. It's a huge impact. Yep. So it's worth investing in.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the message, is that people need to understand that this really does enhance our lives, mm-hmm. and it feeds the economy.
Yeah, yeah, and some of these art installations, particularly Alley 5.5, I don't know how many times I've seen some of those murals in backdrops of family photos, senior photos. Yeah. My family, we've personally taken advantage of these things. So there's no question in my mind
sure.
that the community wanted to see more, and now we're starting to get that, and I think there's just going to be tremendous support as we go forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they act as a kind of a visual landmark mm-hmm. In a really fun and colorful way. Yep. I know we did, Ben Smith here and our staff did a really nice piece on the Glantz Art Walk mm-hmm. Up the street here. And it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Just lovely. Yep. So we're seeing more and more of that. So Eileen's presentation last night was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And again, just a presentation. She wasn't right. there asking for anything. And I think that it's nice to allow time for that. Mm-hmm. information for people to hear. Another presentation came from the Bismarck Parking Authority last
right.
night. Jim Christensen, their chairperson,
mm-hmm.
Came forward and talked about in specifically the Galleria parking area right. and the vacant lot on mm-hmm. the south end of the hotel.
Yes.
There. So downtown.
Yep. So the city owns all the parking ramps, all the large parking ramps downtown, with the exception of the one just north of Wells Fargo. But the city owns and operates the Galleria ramp, which, for those that aren't familiar, it's the one that's directly adjacent to the Radisson. And there are some repairs that need to be done to the Galleria. These are things that happen through the life expectancy of a ramp. So right now, the Parking Authority has engaged with a local structural engineer. They'll be mm-hmm. developing plans and specifications on how to best repair the ramp. But then the other thing we saw from Jim in the commission last night was direction from the commission for the Parking Authority to work with city staff to develop an RFP, request for proposals. And really what we're doing is we're looking at that vacant lot south of the Radisson, south of the Galleria, that's along Main Avenue, and looking at redevelopment opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
A gravel lot, sure, it has a use, but there's a higher and better use for this land.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're looking at, what we're hoping to accomplish, is the redevelopment of this property as a mixed use, something with commercial offices, certainly housing. Those would all be some of the high notes that we'd like to see hit with any redevelopment opportunities. So the commission said, go for it. It sounds like a great idea.
Let's move the process forward.
Yep. The city owns the gravel lot, so it's an opportunity for us to sell the property, get it onto the tax rolls, and start to see some more opportunities.
I know I'm dating myself, but I remember when this property was developed with the hotel, was very early when I first moved here to Bismarck, that south lot was designated for another building. Mm-hmm. There was a phase two to that project, right. And it's never gotten off the ground. And it's basically been used for parking, mm-hmm. overflow. And
large vehicle parking, yeah. and things like that.
But I remember during the street fair, it was a beer garden for many, many years. We have a map that we can show, give you a little reference about the location. Again, we're talking about between Broadway and Main, mm-hmm. And 6th and 7th Street. This is the Galleria parking facility on the east side, and then the south end would be the vacant lot. So the idea is to try to put something together that will incorporate improvements to the Galleria.
Correct.
And develop that lot.
Yep. And at this point, there are really no ideas off the table. If somebody came to us and said, we've got a better plan for public parking in this area, we're going to listen to it at this mm-hmm. point, because as Jim Christensen mentioned last night, the Galleria has its limitations. It was built at a time when not everybody was driving larger vehicles, and there are some tough navigational spots through the Galleria. But at the same time, parking ramps are tremendously expensive to build and typically done in this sure. part of the world by the public, by the city. So we've got to make sure we're making all the right decisions as we move forward.
Well, hopefully it can be salvaged and brought back to life a little bit over there.
Definitely. Yeah. And this is something we can touch on throughout the process as things continue to move.
Yeah.
And we'll keep listeners and viewers up to
date. That'll be exciting. There's a lot of potential there. And then when you look to the east,
more potential.
There's vacant property mm-hmm. across 7th Street that's had various projects proposed over the years.
Right.
So maybe some of that can spur
as we start to spread out from some of the concentrated areas of improvements.
Right.
We've talked before how we're moving west down Main Avenue. Now we're going to start looking down the east mm-hmm. side of Main Avenue, too.
Definitely. Another item moving off this subject and move into the next agenda item was the self-wire mm-hmm. Issue move forward and was yep. approved by the commission last
Correct.
Night. I know there was some testimony by some concerned electrical contractors. Mm-hmm. They had some safety issues that they were concerned about. But this... And the commission went forward and passed this and allowed this to happen. Mm-hmm. But it's not carte blanche that
Correct.
You go forward and go ahead and,
yeah. and... There will still be limits on the type of work that mm-hmm. can be done. Certainly the large 220-amp type work, some of that stuff needs to be
sure.
done by professional electricians, and we just won't even go there with self-wiring. But some of the modest things that some people are capable of doing in their home, there's mm-hmm. a process to do that on your own now. So
there will still be permitting required.
Absolutely.
There will be oversight and inspection.
Yep.
And it seems like the bottom line is that this just now allowed Bismarck to be consistent with the other North Dakota cities
right.
that allow this same thing.
Yep. We did hear that Bismarck was kind of out on a pedestal by itself, and all the other communities currently allow self-wire.
Mm-hmm.
So we're, again, being responsive to some of the requests of the general public. And going forward, if anybody has any more questions about this, I would encourage them to contact Building Inspections, 355-1465.
Yeah. Before you proceed.
Before you proceed, absolutely. There is still a process,
mm-hmm.
so we want to make sure safety is still part of that process.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Some things came back, or this was another follow-up from last time. Carl, your community development, Carl Ockenstedt, mm-hmm. community development director, came forward and talked about the urban service boundary area mm-hmm. once again. And we
yep.
talked about that last time.
We have. Yep.
That's been prioritized a little differently, and mm-hmm. I believe we have a map there. We showed the last time as well. But we do have a map that shows what was determined at the last meeting.
Right. And so what we're looking at for the radio listeners, the map is showing basically three different colors. The green areas are those that are directly adjacent to city limits. Those are the easiest areas to service with new utilities, just
mm-hmm.
modest extensions from
so these
existing
have,
services.
And these have been identified as the priority areas
Correct.
To develop first.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, they're contiguous to city limits and very easy for us to get utilities into. If a developer was looking at going beyond these contiguous areas, those costs would likely be borne by the developer and not able to be special assessed. So there's a difference in how we would be reaching out into some of these greenfield areas instead of growing contiguously. The leapfrog methodology has a different price tag to it.
Yeah. So the green areas, again, priority and would be available for special assessment improvements for roads and streets. The pink areas would be available, but the developers, property owners would be responsible for bringing in that.
On their own.
That infrastructure.
And the yellow areas, just so we touch on all the colors on the map, those are existing rural residential subdivisions that are outside city limits, so we wouldn't see any changes in those areas.
And related to this, the next area that we were going to talk about is the ETA, extraterritorial
area.
And we talked, and that came to the commission last night. There was no action taken, but it just basically affirmed the boundaries as they sit now.
Right. And as Carl shared with the commission and anybody that was listening or watching, the extraterritorial area is a long-range planning tool that's been established since the late 70s by state law. So by current state law, we have up to 4 miles beyond our city limits, our corporate boundary, where we have jurisdiction for planning and zoning and building inspections. We don't use the full 4 miles that's allowed by state law. We have what we call a negotiated ETA, where the city commission and the county commission have agreed to a different line, a line that works well for both groups. And really what we saw last night was just an affirmation of that boundary that was established, I believe, 4 years ago, a little more than 4 years ago. And at that time, it was unanimously supported by both the county commission and the city commission. And our commissioners last night basically said, we like it where it is, and we're going to leave it that way for now.
Clarification on a position.
Yes. And just to clarify, the USAB, the Urban Service Area Boundary, and the ETA, although they are separate lines on the map, they are very much related with what we can provide services to and what we could potentially grow into in the future.
So, another switching gears into another agenda item last night that took a considerable discussion was the conversion of Main Avenue into a permanent
three-lane.
Three-lane.
Yep. Yeah, so we've seen for the last not quite year and a half, maybe last 14 months, 15 months, Main Avenue functioning as a three-lane. Which means one driving lane in each direction and then a center turn lane. Based on some of the data that the city engineers were able to collect and some of the anecdotal data from the property owners, the business owners along Main Avenue, the residents, the pedestrians that are here, the overwhelming support was to make this a permanent three-lane section. We certainly know there's some areas that need some attention. If anybody's driven westbound between 7th and 6th, there's a kind of a tricky transition as the one lane peels off and you have to go north along 6th. We can address all of that. And they talked also about some of the timing of the traffic signals and making it more pedestrian friendly. So there's a number of different perspectives that need to be addressed here. But going forward, I think we can all understand that we're going to have a three-lane section through Main Avenue for this part. And the commission talked a lot about how Main Avenue has evolved over its lifetime. And as we all know, it was the highway through Bismarck. And it's no longer a highway. It's now a corridor through our downtown. And if we're really talking about being more pedestrian friendly and less less emphasis on moving vehicles through downtown quickly, this is one of the steps that we're needing to take.
And we have some of those statistics running on the screen, too, that Gabe Schell reported last night.
Traffic counts.
I think it really demonstrates that they're very closely watching what's happening here. And the numbers weren't completely surprising on either end. There was mostly a decrease in crashes, but there were a couple areas that showed an increase. But those can be tweaked. And, you know, this project that's been in place since, what, June of 2016 was a demonstration project. So the signage and the striping and all that goes with it really was not a permanent fix.
Not at the time, no.
So hopefully now with some tweaking and some changing as we make it permanent, that will be corrected.
Yep. And there's a learning curve from the driver's perspective.
Absolutely.
We certainly know that there are people that don't live here that are used to things the way they were, and change is sometimes difficult.
Yeah, well, and I think you've hit on something really major, and that is people do resist change. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, there's a bit of a tradition on Main Avenue. Yeah. I think Commissioner Guy referenced that too. You know, it's not quite the same Main Avenue as back in the day when you could cruise Main and be next to your, you know, have multiple lanes of traffic in there. So it is a change. And I think it was interesting last night. And I think, again, Commissioner Guy posed the issue is, what do you want this road to be?
Right.
Is it a highway? Is it a main thoroughfare? Is it a place to get from A to B? Mm-hmm. And it really isn't anymore.
Right. And as Commissioner Oban noted, we have a lot of east-west corridors through our community. North-south, not quite as many. Mm-hmm. But there are alternatives. And some of the traffic counts likely went down because you can travel on Front Avenue. You can now travel both ways on Broadway. You've got Rosser Avenue. Mm-hmm. You can go further north up to Boulevard. So there's alternatives to just using Main Avenue. But at least in the downtown area, the decision is that we're going to quiet the traffic, calm the traffic a little bit, and put some more emphasis on people walking about and using other forms of transportation as well.
It's interesting, too, because I think you and I have talked about this before, is that this, what we're calling right now a road diet, was actually identified many, many years ago, before this last strategic plan was put in place for downtown. I believe it was in the early 90s. There was a recommendation by consultants at that point in a downtown study that said this should be reduced to three lanes.
Right.
That would be the ideal situation.
1993, I think, was that first study.
Yeah. So here we are, 2018, and this is moving forward. So that would be good to watch.
Definitely.
Probably starting this spring?
I would expect it to, yes. And we can sure keep listeners and watchers informed on when changes are coming. We'll make sure to share that information with the media, the press, so it's not just a surprise.
Absolutely. And related to this, then, the next item on the agenda was the DOT federal funds program. Gabe Schell got up there and talked about his priority list of road projects, which included the Main Street conversion to a three-lane.
Yep.
And these are grant applications.
Correct.
This doesn't mean any of it's, you know, going to happen necessarily.
No guarantees here. Right. There's an application and a review process through the state, but Gabe's got some prioritized projects where we know there needs to be improvements. And if you look on the map, for those that can, particularly State Street, from Calgary Avenue up to 57th Avenue, there's some improvements that can be made there so it reflects more of what State Street looks like south of that area for that increased traffic that is moving north. Of course, Main Avenue, as we just talked about, 7th and 9th Street are both looked at for some improvements. But then maybe one of the more significant ones that a lot of people will begin to appreciate is that 43rd Avenue corridor between Washington Street and Highway 83.
Again, you referenced it earlier. There's another east-west corridor that's significant and carrying a lot of traffic now.
And we look at 43rd Avenue very much like we look at Century Avenue. It's a section line roadway, so it's on the mile. It's a mile north of Century Avenue. But at the full build-out of 43rd Avenue, it could quite likely look a lot like Century Avenue, where you've got a median, you've got designated turn lanes, you've got high volumes of traffic moving in both directions. So no question about it, 43rd is going to be an important street as we move forward.
Well, and we spoke about this last week with City of Mandan when Jim Neubauer was here, that their city engineer has put together their list as well. So again, reminder is that this is a competitive grant process. Some of these road projects are on your priority list and they're moving their way up the list, whether or not they capture these funds, whether from the state or the federal government or a combination of those, remains to be seen.
Yep, exactly.
And then that will depend upon the timeline for those projects too.
Yep.
So it's interesting to watch. And it, again, Gabe brought it forward, his priority list, which is confirmed by the city, and they said, go forward, make the grant applications.
Yep.
Another thing on the list that last night that was sounded kind of interesting and fun and very futuristic is our autonomous bus demonstration project.
Yeah, the commission affirmed that it's another opportunity to progress. It's another opportunity to latch onto the technology that's out there. And if this is successful, we will be we'll have a lot of eyes on us, knowing that we've got a driverless bus moving people through the community. So another opportunity here to really kind of be on the front edge of some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great opportunity. I don't know if North Dakota is ready for autonomous vehicles, but the technology's here.
Well, and I think the thing to remember, again, is this the demonstration project.
Right. Nothing permanent.
Temporary, mm-hmm. And it would be concentrated in a particular area in the community. Right. We're talking about the downtown core, mm-hmm. up to the Capitol grounds and back. So it'll move, which makes a lot of sense. And mm-hmm. we've talked about this many times about the Fifth Street spine is important to the community. It moves people between the Capitol grounds mm-hmm. all the way down to Kirkwood Mall.
Yep.
Through the downtown area and our event core, our event center, and it really makes a lot of sense mm-hmm. that would be a target. But this is a ways away. The year on this would be
2019. I believe they're looking early spring through summer of 2019. So nothing immediate, and we'll keep everybody up to date on this as we go forward.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of things that we could show with photos and
definitely
video
exciting.
Of how that moves and a few things that need to be put in place before that. So. The last thing on my list, and then we've gotten a signal we need to get wrapped up here, but you had a meeting Monday night of your infrastructure task force and your special assessment task force.
Right.
And just want to briefly give us a summary of where it's going from here.
What this is, it's actually the Joint Task Force Subcommittee. So another name, but it's a condensed version of the two larger task forces that have been meeting for more than a year now. And really what we're doing is we're looking to find a different revenue stream or a sustainable revenue stream to help with street maintenance and to help lessen the burden of special assessments. What we've learned is that basically the state law enables local municipalities to two types of taxes, either property taxes or state tax or sales tax, without wanting to impact either of those, the role of these two task forces is to determine, is there a means or is there a way to help pay for some of these improvements and maintenance without putting the full burden on everybody that lives or owns property here in Bismarck.
Right.
So no recommendations just yet. We've kind of almost have to hit the reset button a little bit and start to look into other options and other potential funding sources. But we'll definitely keep everybody up to date as we go forward. And all those minutes and agendas are on our website.
Okay.
And they're always public meetings. So if anybody's interested or wants to learn more, check out the website or certainly give us
BismarckND.gov.
That's it. Or 355-1300.
Sounds
good. The city administration.
All right. Well, we went through a lot of information.
Talk fast.
Try to capture a 3.5-hour mm-hmm. meeting in 30 minutes plus. So thank you very much
being
here.
We'll
see you next time.
Sounds great.
All right. And thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD or on KDEC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.